About two Halloweens ago, my now husband Jamie and I were invited to a Halloween party downtown. I was really excited, so I went to all of the costume shops looking for the perfect couple's costume. I was thinking along the lines of Fred and Wilma or Sonny and Cher, but unfortunately, I found more along the lines of Adam and Eve with very little clothing involved in most of the costumes. But finally, we came across the perfect couple's costume, which was Waldo from the Where's Waldo books that are for children that are wonderful, and his girlfriend, Wenda, which I'm pretty sure they made up just to sell costumes, but it was a great costume. So we got in our caps and our striped shirts and glasses and went downtown. And when we got there, we acted like we would at any other party, acted ourselves. And then finally, my friend Diana, who's shown in the picture, she invited us into a picture, and we took it and smiled like we would any other picture. And then she invited us into another one and another one. Finally, I asked to see her camera, and when I saw the pictures she had taken of us, I understood what she was doing. In most of the pictures, there was just either my arm or Jamie's cap or maybe some of his glasses in the picture. She was doing her own version of the Where's Waldo book. When we realized what she was doing, we got into it and we started sneaking into all of the pictures taken at that party that night. I'm pretty sure we were in every single one, whether we knew the people or not. And you would see my arm or his cane, something of the Where's Waldo characters. You see, once we were told who we were and what we were supposed to be doing as these characters, we got into it and we owned the characters of Waldo and Wenda. And the same can be with our Christian lives. When we know what is expected of us and what we ought to be, it can be that much easier to grow into that expectation. So in the scripture for today, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this is what Paul tells us. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the work of each builder will become visible, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If what has been built on the foundation survives, the builder will receive a reward. If the work is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's temple dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. What inspiring words those are. Words that we can meditate on and do our best to become that temple that God asks for us to be. To be a temple of God is to be a vessel for the divine. Can you imagine that? I mean, really imagine that? God dwelling inside each of us at all times and in all places. It might be a challenge to see ourselves in this way, but I believe it is a vision that is worth taking on. For how we see ourselves in light of Jesus Christ, our Savior, affects who we are and the way that we act. I want us to think about a temple for just a moment. Would you put toxins or harmful substances inside a temple or a sanctuary such as this one? How about committing acts of violence or using negative words inside one? Would you neglect the temple and let decay and dust settle upon it? It tends to be that we treat our places of worship with great care. After every service, someone comes in and picks up any papers that are left behind. We have someone who vacuums this space every week, and someone to place the flowers that are given to honored loved ones. We also have stewards who take care of the communion elements every month and make sure that they are presented in a way that is appropriate for the body and blood of Christ. We take great care of every part of our worship space in reverence of the God that we serve. We also put great care into the music presented, the sermons given, and the prayers that are spoken in this place. Reverence is present in every part of what is given for God in our worship space. Thus, to be a temple of God means to make sure that we are reverent in all areas of our lives, and that awe and respect for God are at the forefront of all we do. When we see our bodies and our community as places where God resides and calls home, we begin to think differently about how we treat them and how we act in general. Now, when Paul uses the phrase, "You are God's temple," he is speaking collectively to the people of Corinth. You, as in your whole religious community. Later on in chapter 6, his reference to the temple is more as individuals. And we definitely can and ought to think of our bodies as holy dwellings where God resides. But here specifically, he is telling us that as the people of God, we must not quarrel amongst ourselves, spread lies or rumors, and we must learn to follow Jesus' way of loving each of our neighbors as ourselves. That is how we collectively are to be the temple of God in this world. And to do that, we must have Jesus as our foundation. Everything we do and say must be built upon that foundation. We have to admit that there is a certain order to the way things are built. For example, you cannot put the roof of a house or building on if you have not yet raised the walls. And it doesn't make sense to put up walls if you haven't prepared the foundation upon which all of these things are built. Yes, Jesus Christ must be the foundation of our community. When you try to skip the step of having a sound foundation, you may end up with something like this next slide. The bent pyramid of Egypt. We are used to seeing pyramids with steps going from wide to narrow as you get higher and higher. However, in the 2600s BC, it became the trend to have smooth pyramids. The trick was to make them in the same way the others were made, with all the steps, and then go over it at the end with a concrete-type substance and smooth it out to make it all look like a smooth triangle. But no one told this to the builders of the bent pyramid, who tried to make the pyramid smooth from the start, started with a very steep slant, only to find out that it would never hold that way. And so they ended up making it a less steep slant, ending up making the pyramid look bent, and to pretty much be the laughingstock of all the other pyramids. Another example is that of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. The overall tower, which was meant to be a bell tower, is well constructed, but the foundation itself is only 3 meters deep and was built on a dense clay mixture causing the tower to start leaning on its fifth year of construction in 1178, when there were only 3 floors built at that point. And it has continued to lean a little bit ever since. Foundations are important. Paul says that there is a way in which each member and the whole community fits together. We take our cues from the ones who have brought us into faith, who have taught us, and more importantly, have shown us their faith by their actions. This model goes back for generations, all the way to the first disciples, who took their cues from Jesus himself, from our own foundation. The Apostle Paul tells us in his letter that he has brought to them the true Christ, and he would like the Corinthians to follow his example. The apostle is effectively saying, "Be as I am and do as I do, for I am doing what Christ did, and Christ was conformed to God." Paul is clear that this is the way that discipleship and faith works. God's house of faith is built when each of us follows the plan God has given us by taking the form of a servant, just as Jesus was a servant to those around him. In the servanthood, we must be open to seeing the needs of those around us and to have a heart ready to fulfill those needs. That, in and of itself, is a task which requires each of us to view ourselves as a temple of God. In order to have a heart that is ready to follow Jesus' example, we must first take care of our own spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. As we go into the new year, it may help us to think about how we can recognize God's presence among us. First, let's talk about our spiritual lives. When we read scripture, when we pray, and when we sing songs about God, we must be completely present. By our acts of worship, we are growing in the image of God and growing in our knowledge of who God is. When we do all of this, we are recognizing the holiness of the temple where God resides. Secondly, our physical health impacts our effectiveness as holy spaces. Imagine for a moment that you are worshiping in a sanctuary that is packed with garbage, that has foul smells and distracting noises all around. Our ability to worship God would be diminished at least a little bit, right? The physical health of our bodies can affect our ability to be temples of God. If we are distracted by unhealthy habits that we have acquired, then our ability to worship God will be diminished. Finally, our emotions can affect the words we speak, the actions we do, and the ways we think about all that is going on around us. If we are not spiritually sound and are not connected to Christ as our foundation, then our emotions can go all over the place. If we do not have the rest and sustenance that our bodies need, then our emotions will be affected. Thus, all of these 3 things, our physical, spiritual, and emotional health, go together and make a huge difference in our overall well-being and ability to be God's temple. Together, we are a temple of God. God resides in each of us and wants us to be home there. Is Christ the foundation of our temple? Or, like the Tower of Pisa and the Bent Pyramid, will the foundation that we've built upon eventually give way? To be the temple of God, we must all be working as one community, We must be a community that is continually growing, not just to increase our numbers, but to increase the influence of Christ in this world. In light of all that has happened in the last few years in our communities, with mass shooting becoming prevalent and terrifying to us all, I believe we must rethink what it means to be the temple of God as a community. We must be a light in the darkness and a place of hope for all those who are hopeless. We must continually remind ourselves of what Paul said, God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Having a strong foundation affects who we are in this world. May we be as clear about our foundation as the 3-year-old who went to the doctor for the flu. When the doctor examined her ears, he asked her, "Will I find Big Bird in there?" "No," she said. Before looking at her throat, he asked her, "Will I find Cookie Monster in there?" "No," she said. Finally, listening to her heart, he asked, "Will I find Barney in there?" "No," the little girl said firmly. "Jesus is in my heart. Barney is on my underwear." Yes, we must be aware of where Jesus belongs in our lives and be certain of it. Because if we aren't, any sort of tragic occurrence will tear us apart as a community. My hope is that we may find a way to be more connected and to learn from these events. In the wake of the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut, a woman named Liza Long wrote an article entitled, "I Am Adam Lanza's Mother." Of course, Ms. Long had no relation to Adam Lanza at all. But instead, she was saying that as a mother of a mentally ill son, she knew what it meant to be in constant fear for her life and the life of others. She knew much of what Adam's mother had gone through up to her last days. In the article, Ms. Long wrote that these occurrences are giving us awareness of the issues of mental illness in our world. As a mother of a mentally ill son, Mrs. Lanza lived a reality that is difficult for many of us to imagine. Perhaps if she had had a group of people around her to love her and simply listen to her story, frustrations, fears, and all, maybe precautions could have been made. Ms. Long writes of her own situation, of being the mother of a 13-year-old boy who is yet to be diagnosed with any one mental illness, but with clear behavioral issues. She states, "When I asked my son's social worker about my options, he said that the only thing I could do was to get Michael charged with a crime. If he's back in the system, they'll create a paper trail," he said. "That's the only way you're ever going to get anything done. No one will pay any attention to you unless you've got charges." I can only imagine her frustration at the system when she heard those words. Ms. Long ended the article with this poignant statement. She states, "I am sharing this story because I am Adam Lanza's mother. I am Dylan Klebold's and Eric Harris's mother. I am James Holmes's mother. And these boys and their mothers need help. In the wake of another horrific national tragedy, it's easy to talk about guns, but it's time to talk about mental illness. Mothers and fathers who are awaiting help with their children's mental illness have no place to go. They ask for help from the government, but it's overwhelmed. They ask for help from teachers and administrators, but there is so much need and so few resources. That is where community is needed. If we are God's temple as a community, then the sacred and holy must be present in the midst of mental illness and spiritual distress. How, in this time of emotional stress and pain, is Jesus' presence evident to those around us? Jesus is the foundation of our faith, our Christian community, and our lives. In this new year, may we keep that in mind in everything we do and say. You are God's temple. I am God's temple. Together, let us be a place where God is at home and dwells continually. Let us be a place where Jesus' actions and words are heard and seen daily. Finally, let us be a place where peace reigns, where awe and wonder reside, and where love is always found. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the blessings of this world, and we know there are so many needs around us. Help us to build upon your foundation of Jesus Christ, that we may be temples, holy for you to reside in each of us. In your name we pray. Amen.
And our final song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Cross.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night.